Chapter 10. How I Ruined the World.
"Tell us what happened,"
Bosch says, shaking his head, his hand gently resting on Tammy's knee. Whoa. Tammy turns white and then bright red, and then she smiles, then frowns, then slowly shuffles out of Bosch's reach. Meanwhile, Will paces the room, his arms waving over his head.
"The gym won't be ready in time."
My stomach feels like I just swallowed a balloon filled with sand.
"Even once the repairs are complete,"
Will says,
"the floors will be too fragile for the first month to have students dance on them. Same goes for the cafeteria. I'd like to kill the people who pulled that cow prank."
"La la la," River groans.
"Can't we rent a place?"
Will shakes his head.
"That's the second problem. Since Conch is convinced that the cows were a senior prank, she wants to cancel prom until someone confesses."
"What?" we all scream. I may throw up on the floor.
"I convinced her not to. So instead, she's making us fork over the money the fashion show raised for the prom to help with the repair costs."
"What?"
Bosch screams.
"Dude, how can we afford prom if we do that?"
Will continues.
"She recommended we start by canceling the band and the photographer, and possibly the rented tables."
"But where does she expect us to eat?"
River asks indignantly.
"On the floor?" "Oh, don't worry,"
Will says sarcastically.
"She suggested canceling the dinner, too. But then she remembered that we already gave the caterer a deposit with the money from advanced ticket sales. What are we going to do? The prom is supposed to be in 3 weeks, but at the moment all we have guaranteed is the meal, and not even the entire meal. The deposit was only $7,000, which means it will cover appetizers and maybe half of the stale chicken plates."
"That sucks, dude," Bosch says. "We can't party in the street. Let's just rent a space and listen to a CD or something."
"We need a band,"
River argues.
"I can listen to CDs at home."
Will shakes his head in disgust.
"Aw, man. I'm going to be the SOC president responsible for the lamest prom ever."
"We should just cancel it," River says.
"No way! Then Will will be the president responsible for canceling prom."
"Hold on. What's the total cost of prom?"
I ask. Will sighs.
"It's supposed to be $27,500, which covered everything. And it worked out perfectly before the cows, because we had almost $10,000 from the fashion show, we had a free space, and the prom tickets were $50 a person. And since we're expecting about 350 ticket sales, it worked out to, well, it worked out."
"You absolutely cannot cancel prom," says Kat, tapping her purple pen. How does she never lose that pen? I lose about one per day.
"We'll just have to come up with the money.
Let's raise ticket prices."
"If you raise ticket prices too high,"
River says,
"people might not want to spend the dough. If anything, you may have to give them a rebate if you don't even have a band or dessert." "We can't raise ticket prices,"
Will says, shaking his head in dismay.
"We've already sold some of them. The price is set."
I do the calculations. "So you're expecting $17,500 in ticket sales, which means that if we need to re-raise the $10,000 from fashion show funds to be able to keep prom as planned, as well as, say, a few thousand for a location, we're looking at trying to raise $12,000 to $15,000. Will nods. Kat continues tapping.
"We can do it. Let's find a new location. Then we'll worry about paying for it. We won't book it unless we have a way to raise the money. But we'll come up with it.
We have to.
Will hesitates.
Are you all sure? We only have 3 weeks. It's gonna be tough. And exams are coming up.
We can do it, dude,
Bosch says. The rest of us nod.
All right.
Will takes a deep breath.
Let's brainstorm. Jeffrey, can you pass me the licorice?
In the corner near the cupboard, Jeffrey looks up from his notebook. He's like a ghost. Again, I didn't even notice him. He mutters something to himself, reaches into the stock cupboard, and tosses Will a package.
What we need to do, Kat says, is find out what clubs or hotels are available.
Will smiles gratefully at Kat. I feel a spark of guilt for causing him all this grief, and a tiny spark of jealousy.
Right, he says. That makes sense. Let's make a list. And Rachel and I will check them out over the weekend.
Ha! Take that, Kat. Oh, drat. I'm going to my dad's, I admit. His face falls, like, to the floor.
What? You are? I won't be able to see you all weekend?
I shake my head. It's only 2 days. I'll call you. Luckily, I already know his number by heart because of Raph. Not that I've ever called Raph. He pouts for a few more seconds and turns to Kat.
Kat, would you mind coming with me?
Of course not. I'd be happy to.
I roll my eyes at Tammy, and I can't even be mad because Kat's so nice. We ruined the prom, I tell Miri on the train to Long Island.
I don't believe it.
Uh-huh, she mumbles, slumped in her seat reading A Squared. I'm about to make freshman history by going to the prom with a SOC president, and I can't even go.
Can life be any more unfair?
Uh-huh, she repeats. Is there a rhinoceros on this train?
Uh-huh.
You're not paying attention to me.
Uh-huh.
I wave my hand in front of her face.
What?
She asks, finally looking up.
We ruined the prom with the cows.
Do you get it?
Yes, I get it. But is that really such a big deal? It's just a dance, a stupid elitist dance. A dance that you wouldn't even be going to if not for the love spell,
she says, whispering the last two words.
There are far more important issues you should be worrying about.
I know I'm normally a little selfish, but I'm pretty sure Miri should be taking some responsibility for this crisis. Not that I'm one to point fingers, but it was sort of her fault. What are you doing anyway? She whips out a notebook.
Worrying about things more important than prom. Like ridding the world of landmines, number 3 on my list, and of slave trafficking, number 4. Fixing the ozone layer, number 5. And there was an oil spill this morning off the coast of France. Do you know how many whales are going to die?
She makes an arrow in her notebook.
The oil just got bumped up to number 3.
I squirm in my seat.
Okay.
I'm sorry. Sounds serious.
She shakes her head, and I notice the heavy circles under her eyes.
Life is serious, she says, and sighs,
then returns to reading, leaving me staring at my hands. I could so use a manicure. The whole bronzed family is waiting for us at the train station.
Aloha,
Jennifer and my dad say. I need a pair of sunglasses. My dad's blue and red flowered shirt is that bright. And, oh no, Jennifer is wearing a lei. I give their honeymoon glow another week, tops. Then they'll get back to being as miserable as the rest of us. I'm confused. How did Prissy, otherwise known as Priscilla, who was stuck here with Jennifer's parents on Long Island, gets so much color. She quickly clears that up when she says,
"Am I pretty? I want to be pretty like Mommy and have brown skin, too, so I used self-tanner."
"No, you did not," I say in disbelief. "She's 5. Is that legal?" She nods happily. We all shuffle into their Mercedes. Prissy climbs into her booster seat and quickly puts her tiny tanned finger up her nose. I try to catch Mary's eye so we can secretly make fun of the entire scene, but she's lost in her saving the world thoughts.
"You will soon discover a treasure," Jennifer reads after breaking open her fortune cookie. "You know what that means," she says, winking at my dad across the booth at Happy Palace, our favorite Chinese restaurant.
"What treasure?" I ask Jennifer as I chomp on an almond cookie. "You buried money in the backyard? Can I have some?"
"No," she says and then smiles. "I meant the new addition."
"You're adding another wing to the house?" I ask. "Now Miri and I won't have to share a room when we stay over." Jennifer looks at my father.
"Well, no," she says.
"No? So what kind of addition?" I ask. And then it hits me, smack in my face. I choke on the cookie, start coughing, and grab my glass of water. Miri finally snaps out of her reverie.
"Already?"
she asks disbelievingly.
"She's pregnant?
But I'm still not used to Prissy. And where are they going to put the baby? Won't they need a nursery? Does that mean we'll have to bunk with Prissy? When's the baby due?"
"What baby, Mommy?"
Prissy asks, sucking on a cookie.
"What does due mean?"
My dad and Jennifer giggle.
"We're not pregnant," she says, still laughing, her blue-green eyes twinkling.
"Then what is she talking about? Are you getting a dog?"
"Do you know how much work a dog is?"
Jennifer says, flipping her gorgeous silky blonde hair over her shoulder.
"No way. We're trying to have a baby. We're just not pregnant yet."
Is that really an image I need? Prissy slams her small fist on the table, face puckered.
"No more babies!"
Silence.
"Babies are fun,"
Jennifer promises in her chirpiest voice.
"You'll get to be the big sister."
"I don't want to be a big sister,"
she insists, shaking her pigtails.
"I want to be the little sister."
I decide to attempt to help. I can certainly relate. Rumor has it, when I was first told about Miri's upcoming arrival, I spit up in protest. "You can be a big sister and still be a little sister," I explain. "You're so lucky. You get to be both." I wish I could be both. How awesome would it be if I had a big sister? Someone to tell me what to wear, help me with my makeup. I've kind of been my mom's big sister lately.
"I don't want to be a big sister," Prissy says calmly.
Miri laughs.
"Too bad it's not up to you."
"No more babies!"
Prissy screams at the top of her lungs and reaches for her third cookie. Everyone at the restaurant turns to stare.
"No more sugar,"
Jennifer says, moving the cookie plate out of her reach. The subject comes up again the next morning. We're sitting sleepy-eyed in the kitchen, lazily enjoying our poached eggs and toast, when Prissy's question lands flat on the table like a pancake.
"Where do babies come from?"
Her blue-green eyes are wide with innocence. Miri starts coughing. I take a long sip of my orange juice and try to see to the bottom of the glass. Would it be weird if I climbed under the table?
"Well,"
my father begins.
"Oh, God. Oh, no."
"Don't say it. He's not going to tell her, is he? I can't think of anything more painful than having to listen to my dad discuss the birds and the bees. I remember when I first heard about the facts of life. Jules' older brother told us when we were in the second grade. I went home and asked my mom if the rumors were true. I remember feeling truly appalled. It goes in where? Anyway, I have never discussed this subject with my dad, and I certainly don't want to start now. As far as I know, he doesn't even know I know.
Well,
my father begins again. I look at Miri, and her cheeks are the same cherry red as I imagine mine are. Jennifer makes a stab.
When mommies and daddies love each other.
Miri and I sink lower into our chairs.
They sleep in the same room.
Alone. Together. She continues. The detail on this plate is just amazing. Nice plate. Pretty plate. Pretty white square plate.
That's when they make a baby.
Oh,
says Prissy. Then her eyes squint into small commas.
But how do they make a baby?
Silence.
Out of love,
my dad says. Could this get any more painfully embarrassing? I'd rather be writing an exam while a dentist fills my cavities. Not that I have any. I have perfect teeth, unlike my sister who must brush her teeth with Kool-Aid. I wonder if Will has any cavities. He does eat a lot of licorice. I bet Raph has perfect teeth. No thinking about Raph. Better to listen to Jennifer's sex talk. Prissy considers the new and extremely vague explanation and slowly nods. Then she shovels a forkful of egg into her mouth and the subject is forgotten. By her. I think I may be scarred for life. We go to the mall in the afternoon because Prissy has inexplicably painted liquid paper hearts on her black patent leather party shoes. Dad tells Miri and me that we can each pick out one new item for ourselves.
New jeans! New jeans!
I beg inside Macy's, leading them from the kids' shoe department to the juniors department.
You have jeans,
my dad says.
You're wearing them.
True. I could even use the multiplying spell for more if I wanted to.
A girl can never have too many pairs, Jennifer says, coming to my defense.
I almost pass out from surprise by my new and unexpected ally. Honeymoon Jennifer is awesome and so smart. I pile 10 pairs over my arm and retreat into the dressing room. Jennifer acts as commentator as I model each one.
Too big. Can we get her a smaller size?
And then, too dark. Lighter is really in style this season.
She's right. London's groupies are all wearing light jeans.
By the time we've whittled it down to 2 pairs, Miri, my dad, and Prissy are all asleep on the couch. Which should I choose? It's like asking me to pick a favorite parent. I love them equally.
Ring them both up, Jennifer says. Let's hang 10.
That means go for it.
Viva Hawaii!
If Jennifer keeps this up, I may pick her as my favorite parent. It's not until we're back in the car that I realize that Miri didn't buy anything. Where's your one item? I ask.
Yeah, honey,
my dad says, reversing the car out of the lot.
I said you can have anything you want. And since we bought Rachel 2 pairs of jeans, you can have 2 anythings.
I don't need anything material, she answers. But you could take my assigned money and donate it to the charity of your choice on my behalf.
Oh, brother.
Jennifer whips her head around.
What?
My feelings exactly. What a goody-goody. My father also turns around, which probably isn't that safe, but he smiles at my sister as if she said she'd been accepted to Harvard.
I'd be happy to do that. You choose the charity, and I'll double what I spent on Rachel's jeans.
That's not fair.
Sigh. I'm horrible. Of course it's fair.
Thanks, Dad,
Miri says.
She's so donating that to the prom.
I prepare to call Will before dinner. This will be the first time I call him. He's phoned me every day for the last week. I close the door, sit on the bed, and pick up the receiver.
Bought her the most adorable jeans. I think I might go back and get a pair, I hear Jennifer saying. Hello? Did someone pick up?
Foiled.
Sorry, I'll hang up. Do you need the phone, Rachel?
I can wait.
Don't worry, I'll get off. Irma, I'll speak to you tomorrow, okay?
I don't know what's come over her. First new jeans, and now she's getting off the phone with her friends so I can use it? We must have put a spell on her by accident.
Nah. Is it possible the fairy tales are all wrong? Once a soon-to-be stepmonster officially joins the family, she becomes nice? I should enjoy it as long as it lasts. It could fade along with her tan. Thanks.
I wait for the dial tone. Then, palms all sweaty, I punch in the number. I don't know why I'm nervous. He likes me. He told me to call. There's absolutely no reason for me to be...
Hello?
Heart exploding. That's why I should be nervous. It's Raph. I should hang up. No, I can't. He definitely has caller ID. Not that he'd recognize the Long Island number, but he knows that my dad lives out here, and he might call back. But what should I do? I can't ask the boy I secretly still like if I can speak to his brother. This is so awful. Exponentially worse than my dad talking about sex. Why didn't I block my number?
Hello,
Raph repeats. Although, maybe it's not Raph. How do I know? Their hellos sound identical. It's probably Will. Of course it's Will. Hello, I say, attempting to sound optimistic. I try to use my non-existent powers of persuasion. Be Will. Be Will.
Hello,
the voice says again.
Who is this?
It's not Will. Will would know it was me. Wouldn't Raph know it was me, too? I should hang up. Don't hang up. I could claim I got disconnected. Be mature. My palms are now so sweaty that the receiver slips out of my grasp.
Rachel!
I squeak, pressing it firmly against my ear.
Rachel who?
Is he, whoever he is, joking? Which one of them doesn't know me? Rachel Weinstein.
I'm just kidding you, Rachel. It's Mitch.
Oh, hi. I slap my sweaty hand against my forehead. I forgot about brother number three. He's not on my daily radar since he's at NYU. But I thought he didn't live at home. Why is he answering the phone? Just to make me feel like an idiot?
So, who do you want to speak to?
He asks, laughing.
Raph or Will?
Raph, please. I mean, Will. Will. Now I'm confused. He laughs again and hollers.
Will! Phone!
Glad to be an amusement.
Seconds later, Will picks up.
Hello?
They all sound the same. Hi, Will.
Rachel, how you doing?
Headachy,
as of now.
You?
Good. Kat and I went sight hunting, and we found some cool places. I'll bring pictures and prices to show you on Monday.
Great. What are you doing tonight?
Wishing I was hanging out with you, but going to some party with Jerome and the boys. Hey, on Friday, I was thinking Patsy's.
Yum. Only the best pizza place in the city. Sounds delicious. And romantic. I can already see a string of mozzarella stretched between us like the spaghetti in Lady and the Tramp.
Great. My parents love it there. And they want to meet you.
Your parents?
I'm not ready for a meet and greet.
Doesn't that happen much later on? Like, when we're engaged? What will I wear?
Don't worry. It won't be just them. My brothers, too.
Really foiled this time.
Time for all of us to hit the hay,
my dad says, turning off the TV. I stand up and stretch.
I'm not going to sleep,
Prissy says, still firmly planted on the couch. Jennifer laughs.
Oh, really? You certainly are.
No, I'm not,
Prissy says again. She turns around and stuffs her head between two pillows. Jennifer picks her up by the waist and carries her toward her room.
Yes, young lady, you are.
Prissy begins kicking and screaming.
I want to sleep with you!
What is wrong with you tonight? Big girls sleep in their own beds.
Miri and I quickly say goodnight, leaving them to the parenting trauma, and after washing up, we head to the privacy of our lemon meringue room.
We have a lot to talk about,
I say.
I know, but let's wait until everyone's asleep.
I don't know why she wants to wait, but I'm too tired to argue. Might as well get in a few winks. I nod off into dream world, and the next thing I know, Miri is shaking me awake.
Are we ready to talk about prom?
I ask groggily.
Yep,
she says.
But let's do it in France.
She waves two batteries and some sort of purple potion in front of me.
I found a clean water spell.
So that's why she wanted to wait. But do we have to do this now, when I'm feeling like a zombie?
Are you kidding me? Don't you think you're going a little overboard on this helping thing?
She squats on the ground.
Get on! We'll discuss this once we're there.
I sigh and climb aboard the Miri Express. I wonder if I'm accumulating any airline points. I'd like a free trip to the Bahamas, please. A few seconds later, we land on a soft beach. The sunrise is casting shades of pastel pink and orange on the water. If only I had a camera. And the air smells salty and delicious. Excuse me, delicious. Miri goes to work on the oil issue. I make a snow angel in the sand.
I'll be here if you need me,
I say.
Yeah, thanks.
A few minutes later, she's done, and I'm in heaven. The lull of the surf is sweet music to my ears. Can I move to France?
All right. Whales saved. Let's go home,
Miri announces, crouching down beside me.
Already?
I pat the spot beside me. This piece of beach has your name on it, Missy. What's the rush? Miri shrugs and plops onto her back.
2 minutes, and then I have to get back to work.
I groan and flick a grain of sand toward her. Stop being such a freak. And speaking of which, I can't believe you didn't get new clothes today. She sighs.
How could I take home clothes when there are people in the world who are freezing?
I don't want to sound selfish or anything, but what she just said makes absolutely no sense. Whatever. What charity are you going to give your money to?
I don't know yet. That's the problem. There are so many causes. The homeless, peace in the Middle East, AIDS, animal rights.
Wrong answer. The prom. We need the money for the prom. Remember our discussion about how we had to help earn money? This is it. So help. She props herself up on her elbows.
The prom is not a charity.
Actually, it is. JFK alumni have shelled out $30,000 for school repairs. Because of the cows. Your cows. The school is using the prom money to fix the gym, so we need to raise money to rent a ballroom.
I'm not giving up peace in the Middle East for a stupid prom.
Hello? Does she feel no accountability here?
But you ruined prom. You should feel responsible.
Miri bursts into tears.
Oops.
I sit up and put my arm around her. She starts sobbing silently, as though afraid that any sound she might make will scare the whales.
"What's wrong?" I ask.
"I feel,"
sob,
"so,"
sob,
"awful, that I ruined prom."
Snot dribbles along her upper lip.
"And I,"
sob,
"don't know how,"
sob,
"to fix it. There are so many bad things in the world, and I have to fix them too. And I know I'm supposed to be happy that I'm a witch and that I have all these powers, but I feel so,"
sob,
"responsible for everyone. There's this huge weight on my chest, like someone's sitting on it all the time."
"My poor sweet sister.
I need to make her laugh." Not knowing what else to do, I sit on her stomach. "Like this?" She giggles, but quickly starts crying again, then snorting.
"You're hurting me,"
she says, and I roll off. I got sand all over her shirt.
"I know what will make you feel better," I say.
"What?"
"The Eiffel Tower. Let's go to Paris."
She shakes her head.
"I'm tired. Can we just go home and go to sleep?"
Party pooper. "All right. But can we at least get a baguette?" She squeezes the batteries in her little hands and motions to her back.
"Another time."
When we return to Long Island, I climb straight back between my sheets.
"What are we going to do about the prom?"
Mary asks, getting into bed. I think for a minute before I answer. "We need to raise money, and we can definitely use your help with that. So stop worrying. We'll figure something out. Now, about your feeling responsible for the entire world." Suddenly, we hear the door next to us open, followed by little feet scampering down the hallway, then my dad and Jennifer's bedroom door opening.
"Chrissy,"
my dad says,
"what are you doing in here?"
"No more babies,"
she declares.
"From now on, I'm sleeping with you. I don't want a sister."
Mary and I start laughing. After a few minutes of debating with my dad and Jennifer the merits of her staying, Chrissy tires them out and wins the argument.
"My eyelids feel heavy. Let me just rest for 2 seconds, and then we'll continue talking."
I close my eyes for 2 seconds, but the next thing I know, the light is streaming through the blinds. Mary is at the desk making lists, and it's morning. All this globe-trotting is definitely exhausting.
"Hello,"
I say, turning on the hallway light.
"Mom?"
"It doesn't look like she's home,"
Mary says, dropping her weekend bag onto the floor. "Huh? She's always here when we get back. Always." "Maybe she's sleeping," I say. I open her door and flick on her bedroom light. Nope. Her unmade bed looks a lot like mine, covered with clothes. "This is weird," I say. "It's 8 o'clock and she's out? Did she have a date tonight? It's Sunday. She should be home to greet us. With cookies and milk and..." Oops. Been watching too many retro shows. We decide to watch TV until she gets home. By 10, Mary is asleep on the couch.
"Go to bed,"
I say, nudging her. "I'll wait up." I'm starting to worry. What if something happened to her? What time should I start panicking? Why hasn't she called? I try her cell phone, but it goes right to voicemail. At 10:30, I'm pacing. At 5 to 11, I'm about to start calling, well, not the police, but at least the fireman downstairs, when I finally hear my mom's key in the door.
"Hi, hon,"
she says, casually hanging her jacket on a hanger. She notices my scowl.
"What's wrong?"
"Where?" I spit out. "Have you been?"
"I am so sorry,"
she says, unzipping a pair of stunning new leopard skin high-heeled boots. Where did those come from?
"I didn't realize how late it was."
"Next time, Mother, you call home when you're going to be late."
I'm about to add that I'll have to ground her if she pulls a trick like this again.
She hangs her head.
I am really sorry, honey.
She gives me a hug.
Where's your sister?
Asleep. It's 11, I say.
She gasps.
I really didn't realize it was so late. Want to tell me about your weekend? I'll make some tea.
Sighing, I follow her to the kitchen and slump into a chair. How was your weekend? Busy?
Oh, boy, yes. I went out. A lot.
How many dates did you have? She smiles as she fills up the kettle.
4.
4? I didn't even know she knew 4 men. Who are they? There's the fireman, Adam, geriatric Lex. Who else?
She shakes her head.
I had to reschedule with Lex. By the time he called on Friday to confirm my weekend was booked.
I raise an eyebrow.
I fit him into the schedule for cocktails next Saturday from 5 to 7.
She unwraps 2 herbal tea bags and drops them into 2 tipped mugs.
She picks up the wall calendar to confirm.
Yep, 5 to 7.
The entire month is covered with red scribbles. Pass that to me, please.
I don't believe it. There are men's names and locations written down for every night of next week.
2 on Friday, 3 on Saturday. Yes, 3.
Has my mom gone crazy? When did she become crazy dating mom?
How can I get my calendar to look like hers?